Blog Talk Radio.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression. This song is for you.
Today's a new day.
Welcome to Renewing Your Mind, helping you realize the true transformation as promised in Romans 12:2. We address the topic of avoidant personality disorder and related conditions. Does criticism destroy you? Do you feel rejected by everyone, or do you feel all alone in the world? Do you feel as if everyone is better than you or everyone is watching? If this describes you, this podcast is for you. If this describes someone close to you, this podcast is for you. This is a space to share experiences, ask questions, support one another, and begin to find healing and hope through the renewing of your mind.
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up.
And now, here are your hosts, Philip and Rebecca Dacus.
Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, bud.
Today's a new day. So tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's all right.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Renewing Your Mind. Helping you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, offering hope and healing for today's world. You know, I never get tired of hearing that introduction, the song there. It always makes me smile, which is the name of the song, interestingly enough. So I love that, which, of course, is why I wanted to choose that and pick it for introduction, because it's such a wonderful song, that because no matter how difficult things may seem, you can always smile and make things a little better or a lot better. Today is a special episode, although I consider every episode special, especially since my Rebecca has joined me as my co-host, because it just adds a whole new flavor and dimension to the podcast that just wasn't there before. So I'm very grateful for having her join me to all of these. Today is July 4th, otherwise known as Independence Day. Now there's people listening from all over the world. So some parts of the world, that may not mean anything to you, but it means a lot to folks here in the U.S. So just simply, I'm not going to go into the what it is, all that good stuff, just saying that it's all about freedom. It's all about renewal, which is what we're going to be talking about today, is renewing your mind, what that means, finding the joy and the happiness in that healing that you need. Just some basics real quick first for those that haven't joined us before, maybe join us for the first time. We're talking about avoidant personality disorder, otherwise known as AVPD, which I never say too fast because I always get a little tongue-tied when I say those letters. But avoidant personality disorder, which is everything from depression, rejection, feelings of isolation, inadequacy, being extremely self-conscious, feelings of inferiority, difficulty, extreme difficulty dealing with social situations, and on. It's just a real plethora of all the various fears and phobias that we can face. So that's what makes avoidant personality so incredibly difficult, is because it does include just about every fear and phobia there is out there. All the fear of man, the fear of authority, so on and so forth. I'm going to skip through most of the announcements just because I want to jump right into what we're going to be talking about today, which, like I said, is going to be renewing of their mind. And with it being the 4th of July, and this this is an idea that actually came to my wife because I was kind of struggling to figure out what to talk about tonight. And it happens sometimes, have a little bit of, writer's block, or in this case, podcast block, I guess, and try and figure out what to speak on. And my wife Rebecca came up with the idea, well, it's the 4th of July. Let's talk about freedom. Let's talk about renewing your mind. And I thought that was a wonderful idea and definitely a God thing. So that's what I want to hit on tonight is, well, just what does it mean to get renewing? Just what does it mean to renew your mind? What does it mean to get that healing and stuff that you need? Because we hear a lot in churches from pastors, televangelists, et cetera, we're always talking about renewing your mind. We're always talking about healing. We're always talking about the things that you need to do, but often we don't hear about the practicalities of that. What does it mean? How do you renew your mind? How do you find that freedom and healing that you're needing? And there are some practical things that you have to do. It's a lot more than just words, if you will. It's a lot more than just speaking about, well, need to renew your mind. Okay, well, how do I do that? Well, that's what we're going to try to jump in a little bit tonight is those practical aspects of just how to renew your mind, since that's the name of this podcast. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about real quick, you know, we realized when we were talking about tonight that for a lot of years, my wife had wanted me to go to fireworks shows or just any sort of social event. But on the 4th, you go to fireworks things. And that's something I never wanted to do because of all the people, just way too many people. Of course, for me, there's a few other things that go into that as well. But largely, it was about just too many people. And I know that's a common thing, avoidant personality. You want to avoid, go figure, right? Avoidance, avoid. So you want to avoid those sorts of situations because you don't know how to handle them. And I realize it's an issue. It's a problem. It's real, but it is something that you can deal with and overcome. A lot of time, what you really just have to do is just kind of go. And I think that's the thing that I had to come to. For in a lot of years, I didn't. But one day I just had to come to the realization that, I need to do these things. I'm never going to get better if I don't do it. It's kind of like a sink or swim sort of thing. By going out and you're not going to overcome, you're not going to figure out how to be with people if you don't get out there and be with people. It's just kind of one of those, it just kind of works that way, right?
Right.
So going to fireworks shows, various things like that, it was just something you had to get out there and do.
Well, it didn't come very easy for you, though.
It was not easy in a long shot.
Tonight, actually all week, I've been thinking about our podcast, and it kept coming to me about when I was growing up, it was always really, the 4th of July was really exciting. It was really like the pinnacle of summertime, and you have watermelon and people, and I love water. I love being around water. So you could be at a lake or near a pool or running through the sprinkler or anything like that, but you just knew that night you were going to have fireworks. There's just going to be a whole sense of patriotism, and just I loved the excitement that it generated within me. And so I never thought for a moment being married, I would have to give up that part of my dream and not really even know why I would have to give that up. Being in a relationship with you is really about laying down what my needs were, because I didn't know to the extent of how deep it was with you. I could tell you were very uncomfortable. And so tonight I was thinking about all of the people that are in relationships with people that have avoidant personality disorder, and that tonight you might be having to lay some of your own excitement down, or your, you know, the excitement of being with other people and just celebrating this holiday. And I just wanted to reach out and encourage you guys, because I know how hard it is. And even as I'm sitting here talking, I actually feel kind of like crying a little bit, because it does, it just, it brings up a lot of emotion of having to be very selfless in a relationship with somebody with avoidant personality disorder, clear down to a very simple thing of celebrating the 4th of July. And if you guys are like us, we had just literally no friends even to celebrate with, which kind of bummed me out. But we have a child, and I'm really grateful that he finally, for her sake, decided to, you know, step out a little bit. And I want to encourage those people that are dealing with it, even if you're not in a relationship, if you're just at home tonight or whatever, just try to find something. And I'm not saying use that person or that opportunity to get better, but I am kind of saying use that. If that's what you got to do, do it. Where you use something like our daughter, he would go and do things for her sake, and in the midst of it, he was walking out of his situation. So I just would encourage you guys to maybe together, or if you're separate, just find one little thing to start your own journey of independence.
And my wife dealt with that for an awful long time, my not wanting to go out and do things, because, well, I couldn't. And I think that's one of the biggest things that a lot of people that are quote-unquote normals don't understand. And I'm certainly not making allowances. I'm certainly not saying it's fair, because it's certainly not. But it was just one of those things that I just simply couldn't do. Being around people was, I guess it's pretty difficult to describe other than just torture. It was the last thing in the world that I would want to do, even if I wanted to, if that makes sense. It's just complete and utter torture.
Well, and I think that you worked yourself up even prior to the actual event, if we were going to do that, or if you promised that you would do it, you know, earlier on, like a week before, like, oh yeah, we can go do that, or yeah, we'll see, or maybe. You would say maybe a lot, and I always knew that that was going to end up being a no. But pretty soon you found the disappointment in my life to be maybe a little bit of a motivator too, where you would say, okay, yeah, I guess I'll go ahead and do that. But I know when the minute you would say, when you would commit to me to do something, I know how excruciating it felt. Not even just that event. It was leading up maybe the whole week of knowing next week you're going to have to go. So it's not just like dealing with 3 hours. You've dealt with like 7 days of the torture that you're putting yourself through, the anxiety, the mm-hmm. I wish I wouldn't have said that. I'm feeling anxious about it. Now I'm bummed out about it. Now I'm kind of shutting you out of my life right now, because I'm kind of upset that I had to do something that you want me to do. And so, yeah, it's torture and excruciating, but not just on that day. I think it was several days before that.
Right. And the longer I had to prepare or to think about something, the worse it was. So if it was something maybe on the spur of the moment, it might go a whole lot better. Whereas if it was something that I had to think about for days or something like that, I would find a way out mm-hmm. or take a way out.
I got to work.
And the most interesting thing that, and this is something that I learned or had to learn over a long, long, long time, and sometimes still have to learn and relearn, is that you build it up in your mind that, mm-hmm. oh, it's going to be horrible. The people are going to be terrible. I'm going to have the worst time of my life. It's going to be torture. But then I get there and find out that, wow, it really wasn't that bad after all. It wasn't that big of a deal. I survive maybe even enjoy myself. And I found that pattern would happen most of the time. And that is a pattern that, like I said, I had to learn, because you build it up in your mind, you don't want to go, you make an excuse the last minute, oh, I've got to work, I've got to do whatever. But then you just have to set your mind to it and say, nope, I'm not going to fall for that again, Satan. I'm going to fall into your trap, because I know what it is. I can identify it now. So now I know that I just need to pressure through it and go.
When was your earliest memory of having feelings of social anxiety or whatever? Not just being married, but before.
Well, I don't think I have one. I tell people whenever they ask me how far back I can remember, I tell them that I can remember back as far back as I can remember, if that makes sense. Meaning that I have very little memory. I don't know if this is something that is common to avoidant personality. The issue with people that have avoidance, it's difficult to get any sort of real statistics. But at least in my life, I have very little memory of childhood, so I don't know that I would have or be able to talk about an earliest memory, because I really don't have one. I really don't know. I know that there's been times in my life when I was in the military where I had a lot of issues, which has been several years back, but and I know there was issues from time to time before that at various jobs and events, but where I would be completely unable to pinpoint where this thing started. And I think that's somewhat common, because avoidant personality disorder, from all the people I've talked to, it's typically something that it appears kind of slowly, but one day it's just sort of there. It's kind of like being a carrier of a disease. You can have a gene of some sort that just sits there, doesn't do anything for years, and then one day it just starts to grow, and then it's poof, it's full blown. And that's a lot of the way avoidant personality tends to be, especially if there was some sort of traumatic event in a person's life, which is the typical trigger. Did you have anything to add to that?
No.
No? Okay.
No, but well, maybe I do.
Well, okay.
I just feel like, so us being together for 16 years, I felt like you were kind of a pressure cooker. Like, you handled a lot of things very well, but the more pressures that were put on you by being in this relationship, and also having a child and everything, you know, from finances to jobs and all of that, the pressure just kept, it was like you were in a pressure cooker, and you had, it just continued to bear down on you in the social aspect of our lives. And even before we met, you were kind of an inverted, like you really enjoyed your time alone. You spent a lot of time on the computer and stuff. So I'm assuming that most people do have that, but you know, that tendency to seclude themselves, and maybe they're there tonight secluding themselves from the festivities and activities. But, I just wanted to say that, to maybe encourage people to start thinking about where, you know, where this might have started, and ask the Lord to just show you where did this start, and ask the Lord to just come into that space. I mean, He was already there, whether you recognized it or not, that you weren't alone through this whole process of being an avoidant personality. And I bring that up because we talk about our freedom, but we have so much freedom in Jesus, and yet we operate under this pressure cooker situation, and we just feel like we're alone, and all of these outside things that we have no control over puts us to the point of just boiling over and just imploding or exploding or whatever. But to people that are avoidants or people that are in a relationship with an avoidant, I just want you guys to start praying and asking the Lord to help you see that He was there for you even when you felt alone, and also just believe or know that He is your ticket to freedom.
Exactly. And that's the perfect segue into another thing I wanted to talk about, which is freedom. And the specifics, well, just how do you renew your mind? Just how do you find that freedom? And this is a full sermon, so I'm definitely not going to get into the whole thing because I just don't have time. But I did want to jump into a few things, and I'll be skimming through these normal things because I think it is so important that you know that it is about renewing your mind. The Bible talks, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but there's most of the Bible is about the mind. The mind is what controls the body. The mind is what controls sin. You think about it, and then at some point you act upon it. That all starts in the mind. Avoidant personality disorder is a condition of the mind. For instance, some of the physical conditions you have, but there's always a physical aspect. You know, we were watching one of our favorite shows, which is 600 Pound Life, I believe it's called. And these people, there is a practical aspect. They get weight loss surgery, but there's also a mind element to that. They need to conquer what caused it, what happened to cause them to put on all that weight. And they often go to a therapist or, you know, whatever. They have to figure out what caused that. And with a condition like avoidant personality disorder, which is all about the mind, we need to tackle it all the more. We need to figure out just, okay, what do you do to renew your mind? What do you do to get rid of those thoughts that have caused this? And I'm not taking away any aspects of it, because depression and all this, these are very, very real. But again, this all starts in the mind. The mind is a very real thing. God spoke into existence the world just through the power of His words, which was His mind. So the mind's an extremely powerful thing. This really controls everything. If you can fix your mind, everything else is going to fall into place.
Well, and there's layers to it. There's layers and layers and layers to your mind, your memories, what you believe of yourself. And avoidance typically has such a poopy self-image that they're starting to listen to what the devil had to say about them. And those things didn't come, you know, straight from Satan, but Satan uses other people. So maybe somebody said something, to you and it stuck and it became something that your mind was so fixated on. And what we're talking about is getting freedom from those things by fixing your things upon what God says that you are. And I remember when Alyssa was little and she would say something negative and I would say, okay, now you have to say 10 things positive about yourself. And I know that you kind of looked at me like, whatever, but it's true. It's the same theory, the same concept that negativity can really, really weigh you down, but you have to start believing in the power of your thoughts.
And everything starts in the mind, and it's not just about positive confession.
Right.
It's not just that. It's about thinking the right things. The Bible tells us to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And exactly what that means is, you know, you have a thought. Okay. I think I'm depressed. Okay. Well, let's catch that exactly when it comes in. We just like a sentry at a door, a bouncer, whatever, security guard, this bad thought, whatever it is, depression, social anxiety, whatever starts to come in the door, and the sentry, the guard, says, halt right there. you're not getting past me, because in the name of Jesus, this is not a proper thought. This is not me. This is not to the obedience of Christ. So I'm going to stop that thought. It's not coming in. Now, just like anything else in life, it takes practice, but it can be done. The Bible tells us it can be done. In Ephesians, it talks about putting on the entire armor of God. And I know that a lot of us have seen this scripture, we've read this scripture, and maybe we thought, you know, that's really cute. Put on the armor of God. Okay, whatever. Or maybe you just glanced over it. But, you know, this is a real thing. It wouldn't have been, God wouldn't have put in the Bible if it wasn't, if he didn't have some meaning behind it. You've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, shoes shod with gospel of peace, all of these things. These are real things. These are practical things that you can do. Now, I'm not necessarily an advocate of going through the steps, although I know some people do that and they have great success. So whatever works, but I'm saying do something to put on the armor of God.
Yeah.
Do something, read your Bible, pray, whatever you need to do to put on that armor, because these things will protect you against the fiery darts of the enemy. They will protect your mind so that then God can transform it and renew it into what it should be, because God didn't give you avoidant personality disorder. God never wanted you to have avoidant personality disorder or any of these other things. That's not of God. It's not his fault. He didn't do it. These are things caused by the world, by all of these sin and all these horrible things. The kids that go through sexual trauma and all these other nasty things of this world, that's not of God. Not his fault. He didn't do it. God gave you exactly the opposite. God told you how to defend against that. Put on his armor. Do away with all these things.
Well, I don't want to minimize, you know, somebody that might have been sexually molested. I don't think that that's what you're trying to say. Like,
No. Of course not. These things happen. They're physical
realities. Yeah, but I feel like we have this tendency to say, well, God, where were you? Where were you? Well, we live in a world of free will, and so he puts things into order. He puts us, he puts this world into order, and then, like you've, you know, said before, he steps back, and then we all have our own free will. Again, the theme of this evening is freedom, and you have the freedom right now to choose. We live in such a, I mean, we live in America, so we live in a great place wherever anybody else is. I don't know, because I've never been really any other place, but you have the freedom to choose what your thoughts are going to be. And when someone comes against you and says something, you have the freedom to say, I don't accept that. I don't choose that. I don't receive that. And that's one little practical way. And for you to realize that you are worth having a voice and saying, I choose to not believe that. I do not receive those words. Even in yourself, your mind will say you're one thing, but, you know, you have the freedom to choose your thought pattern.
Exactly. And I definitely don't want to minimize these things. These are real horrible things that happen in this world. And it's terrible. It happens. And none of us like it. But these things aren't of God. These things are of this world. People have free will. They do bad things. But you can choose to stay in that thing, to wallow in it, and to eventually die in it. Or you can choose to overcome it. You can choose the healing. You can choose to renew your mind. It's your choice. I'm not saying it's not easy.
Mm-mm.
It's definitely, I'm not saying it's not difficult. It's definitely not easy. But it can be done. It wouldn't be in the Word of God if it wasn't true.
Right. And Jesus wouldn't have died for you to just give you. He said he came to give us life and life more abundantly. And, you know, that is in all areas where we would have a mind that is full of, you know, great thoughts, good thoughts towards ourselves. Just like Jesus has great thoughts towards us. He thinks so highly of us. He loves every single one of us. And you might be sitting there in your situation. I mean, I remember even in our own relationship thinking, man, I didn't know that this person that I'm married to could bring out such awful, horrible disgust. I mean, I don't even like how I feel about myself because you just bring out the worst in me that I didn't even know was there. And yet Jesus still loves me. He still loved me through those hard times. And so everybody who's listening, avoidant or normal, you know, Jesus loves you. And that's the first thing that you need to remember is that, like, if that's all you get tonight is that Jesus loved you, he died for your freedom, eternal freedom, get that and start meditating on that. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me. And start playing that thing in your mind, like going to bed at night if you don't feel loved, because I would go to bed at night not feeling loved by my own husband. Mm-hmm. And I wish that that person those many years ago would have said, just, it doesn't matter. Jesus loves me. I mean, I know my family loves me. I mean, that's a given. But even more so, Jesus loved me. Because Jesus saw all the growth that was happening in this relationship, you know. And the other part, too, sometimes I would forget that Jesus loved you, too. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep. Exactly. And, you know, sometimes we have difficulty putting the Bible into today's vernacular, into today's culture, whatever. And all of these things about renewing your mind, another way to say all these things would be garbage in, garbage out, which is a old computer term. So basically that just means that whatever you put in, that's what's going to come out. So the Bible talks about if you go around with foolish talk, coarse joking, obscenity, blah, 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 that's what's going to come back out. So whatever you put in, that's what's going to come back out. So what we're talking about is putting in the good things. What we're talking about is staying away from all this sexual morality and all these other things, because they're just going to come right back out. So it's all about renewing your mind and doing the things of God that you should be focusing on.
And those are some pretty extreme cases in the scriptures about, you know, stay away from sexual immorality and stuff. I mean, it can really be down to just something about what music you're listening to. And I'm not like saying,
exactly.
You know,
that's
like,
a simple thing.
Yeah. I'm not saying, you know, just if you're listening to some stuff that's really not uplifting, why don't you just change this channel? And then it changes your mind and the way you're going to start thinking and the way you're going to start walking your freedom out from today on. It's just a little thing. Maybe it's something that you're watching on TV. I know so many people were so involved with a lot of like TV shows that were pretty violent and sinister. Like, it's easy, I think, for people too that don't get out much to just binge watch TV shows. And I remember I was always so ticked off at you because you would just lay on the couch and watch movies all day long and just eat junk food all day long. And I'd be like, what are you bringing into our home? What are you watching? You know, stop this nonsense, because it will have a presence, and it's just a gateway into the rest of your life. So be really, really careful, really cautious. I'm not saying go to this crazy Jesus only extreme, because I listen to secular music. We go to movies. But, you know, just remember, like he said, garbage in, garbage out, and start with small things. Like in the morning, tell yourself, I got up because Jesus loves me and he has a purpose for me.
And that's an important, very important thing. You know, there's a movie I watched a while back, which was about somebody that had a mental disorder. And actually, What About Bob, which is a great movie if you haven't watched it. But the therapist in that movie talked about baby steps, and I use that a lot. I use it very, very often when somebody sends me an email and says, hey, you know, what can I do? What steps can I take to overcome avoidant personality? Or from the normal perspective, what can I do to see that person, that avoidant personality disorder, is making progress? And, you know, I tell them that it's slow. It's for a normal person, change takes time. Any change in a normal person's life takes time. For the one that has avoidant personality, you're talking about something much, much slower in most cases. And I tell them, well, it's baby steps. Take a baby step. In the movie, the main character had a fear of elevators. So what the therapist recommended was, okay, take a baby step. Don't, when you're in the room, you're in this office, don't think about the elevator. Think about taking a step out of the room. You accomplish that goal. Okay, the next goal is to make it down the hall. You accomplish that goal, then the next goal is pushing the button for the elevator. So it's all about baby steps. And a lot of times it comes to that in the life of somebody that has avoidant personality. Take a baby step. Go into a fireworks display might be extremely overwhelming and just not even in the realm of possibility. But
so just grab some fireworks and go in your front yard with your family and take baby steps. Yeah.
Or don't think about the big, huge task of getting into your car. Think about putting on your clothes. Accomplish that. You set yourself another little small goal. You accomplish that. And you go on and on and on. And before you know it, you're there. It's about baby steps. If I hope that makes sense, because I went through it really quickly. But that's also a kind of a really long thing. But in the life of somebody that has avoidant personality disorder, it's about accomplishing the small goals that are, because a huge thing is just out of the question. But if you can take it a little bit of the time, then you'll find that you can actually get there.
So maybe just practically, and we probably have a lot of listeners that don't follow, you know, a Christian regimen. But is that a thing? Christian regimen? Maybe there aren't Christians.
Depends what church you go to.
So anyways, you know, we speak a lot about Jesus because we believe that he's really the only way. He's really like the way. And I don't know how people do it without the Lord. It's very, very hard. But if you're going to take a baby step, just tell yourself, you know, I'm loved. I'm loved.
Exactly.
I'm loved. I'm here. I'm worth it. I'm worthy. I'm loved and I'm worthy. And if you don't even know who that is, I mean, if you don't subscribe to Jesus, then, you know, trust me, you're loved and you're worth it to him, whether you can believe that or not right now. But just very practical baby step would be just working on the fact that you're loved and you're worthy. You're worth it. And that's going to start, you're going to start walking out some freedom. And to the normal in a relationship with an avoidant, you know, there's probably a lot that needs to be said about that too, but
you can
start losing yourself. I know I did. I mean, my family, my friends, we don't even know who you are anymore. We've lost who you were. I mean, our own daughter didn't even know that I had a good sense of humor until just recently. And we will go with family, and she'll say, "My mom is so hilarious. She's so funny." And they're like, "Yes, she's always been this way, but she got lost for a while." So you have to tell yourself, too, you know, I'm loved. I'm going through this process. And I know that it's really hard because you're in this relationship. And you probably have a pretty compassionate heart, because I feel like that's probably the only thing that kept us together was the compassion that I had for you. But it's almost like you have to have enough love for both of you. And that song is like, sometimes love just ain't enough. Well, you know, you have to just tap into the love that Jesus has for you. And that is something that I forgot about. My mind forgot about how much I was worthy and how much Jesus loves me individually. And he's fighting that battle for me. You know, he was always there and he was always present, even when I felt like we were so alone in our relationship. I just kept thinking, God, what are you doing? Why are you allowing this? And I still don't have a lot of answers as to why he did, but I feel like maybe it was more, I don't know, a lot of benefit for you because he loved you so much that.
Well, I think it was a lot of benefit for both of us, and we'll see the outcome soon. I think this is certainly one of them because this podcast is going out all over the world to lots and lots of people that are struggling either on from the normal side or from the avoidant personality side to figure things out, to figure out life, to figure out what those baby steps are, to figure out how to get their mind renewed, to figure out how to deal with the one with avoidant personality disorder. And that's what we're here for. That's what we're trying to do, is trying to direct you to Jesus so that you can get that renewing of your mind and you can find the healing that you need. And it's, again, it all comes down to the mind or goes up to the mind, depending upon your point of view as to where the mind resides. But the mind is an extremely powerful, powerful thing. And
yeah, have you heard that your thoughts become your words become your actions, and your actions become your reality.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the Bible even talks about an interesting thing, or at least I find it still interesting because so many of us forget about it. And I do as well, because, you know, guess what? We're flesh and blood people, and we live in a physical world and a physical universe, and we think about the physical things, the things we can touch and taste and smell and blah, blah, blah. But the Bible says, no, that's not actually what's real. The Bible says, you know, you don't wrestle, you don't fight against flesh and blood. The argument that you had last night, that really wasn't entirely you. That really wasn't entirely something you had against that person. Or maybe it doesn't come entirely from that person. The Bible says those come from principalities, powers, and the rulers of this darkness. In other words, Satan and his demons. That's where those things really come from. Now, that doesn't mean that the fight wasn't real. Satan makes it real. Your mind makes it real, if you will.
Well, yeah, because his agenda is to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's going to attack your mind.
Exactly.
You know, he's totally going to go straight for the things. So an argument can turn into like, well, I think he's being this way, or I think he's being that, you know, or whatever. And all of a sudden, like, you've majored in a very minor thing, mm-hmm. and it's turned into this dissension in your family. And, you know, the family was a concept made up of Christ, of God. He designed that. And so if he wants that for us, then we know Satan does not want that for us. So he's going to do something to attack
exactly.
your mind and
your
get
mind.
In there. And you're right. I mean, it's about something higher than what we can physically
see. Right. I don't know how many times in my former life and my current life sometimes, and I'm sure this is an example that a lot of people could identify with, you have a little argument over something silly. You left the butter out. I don't want the butter left out. Put it in the refrigerator. Just a little small thing like that. And before you know it, it turns into this big, huge thing. How in the world did something like butter turn into a big, huge argument that is about ready to rip your marriage apart? How in the world did that happen? Well, guess what? The answer is right here in God's word. God says that it wasn't just you. There was Satan that was putting gasoline on the fire. You started the argument for a little thing like butter, but then Satan came in and just threw a whole can of gasoline on it, and it poof, blew up into this big, huge argument that was about ready to rip your marriage apart. That's exactly what happened, because it wasn't just you. There was a big thing behind you that was making the situation way worse than it should have been. And I don't know how many times we have gone there, right?
I feel like, you know, people wouldn't probably believe it, but in our marriage, we probably had 5 fights a day on average over stupid stuff like that. And let's just back that up a little bit, because if you think about it, that's where you have to captivate your thought.
Exactly. You
know,
have to.
It's like, okay, am I going to choose? Like, it's choose your battles. You know, am I worried about the butter, or am I worried about the fact that I want peace? You know, you have to choose your battles. And, mm-hmm. and you know, Jesus is going to be there fighting the battles with you. But, you know, come on. He needs us to use our common sense and to be ruled by, you know, being in a correct alignment and not being ruled by our emotions. Or ruled by our flesh, or ruled by our mind. We have to be ruled by the Spirit of God. And if you're feeling so much flames on those fires and that rage, because I know with both of us, we both felt rage. Mm-hmm. And those were true, raw, icky emotions that were coming up. And I know that we were not being led by the Spirit of God. So in your quest for freedom, ask yourself, am I being ruled by my mind, my will, my emotions, my flesh? Or am I being ruled by my spirit and the Spirit of God?
And the key there is identifying it. It's identifying a trap of Satan. We have a little argument. Okay, you left the better out. Okay, it starts turning into a big argument. Okay, we have this big thought coming at me somewhere that is just, to take this completely out of control, and I have to identify that and say, wait a minute, that's a wrong thought. This was the butter. Come on, let's just make up instead of blowing this thing, blowing up the bridge, as we used to call it, mm-hmm. To be able to identify that thing, to identify that, wait a minute, this is butter. There's something else behind this which is encouraging us to go crazy with this thing. So, again, the mind, we have to identify a trap of Satan. We have to identify that thought and arrest it. Now, this takes practice, just like anything else in life. You know, everything takes practice. You want to be good at the piano, it takes practice. You want to be good at whatever, it's going to take practice. You want to be good at arresting these thoughts and overcome them and sidestepping these thoughts. Landmines of the enemy, it's going to take practice. You're going to have to, and it's not easy. I don't want to say it is, but you have to just get to that place where you can recognize that it's getting out of control and go, wait a minute, this can't be happening. This can't be real. This can't be just us. There's got to be something else behind this that's making it worse than it should be. Right?
Right, and I feel like for the avoidant person, it's even more critical for them.
Even more so, because
to realize this and make these decisions to start walking out of that lifestyle, because they've been gripped by fear,
mm-hmm.
they've been gripped by anxiety, depression, low self-esteem. I mean, they've been battered by the enemy. Like, that's the thing. Like, Satan has pummeled them to the point where they can't even function as a normal, like even close to being a normal. And so when your mind is kind of shot already, is what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so being the normal, saying, oh, you need to do this or you need to do that, you'll take that as criticism, which is another thing where you're like, wait a minute, that was not criticism. That was just somebody talking. So as the avoidant, you're going to have to work even harder than the person that's on the normal side. The normal has to just continue to be normal and continue to put these boundaries in place. Of I'm not going to let that person drag me down, because it can be a big bummer.
But the normal person definitely carries a huge part and weight in that too, because the normal person has to recognize or be able to recognize that, hey, that person that has the avoidant personality disorder is struggling in this area, so I need to cut them a little slack, give them a little grace. Not to say it's okay or anything like that, but just to say that
yeah,
you know, I got to be careful here, because I know that I have to say the right things, say them in the right way. I have to be calm. I can't raise my voice, mm-hmm. Et cetera, because these things will set that person off and it'll make the situation a lot worse. And then from the side of the person that has avoidant personality, being able to recognize those triggers, like Rebecca said, we might be talking about something simple, like a card game. They want to have perhaps certain things that they do, certain way they like to do things, certain rules, whatever. And the person that has avoidant personality takes that as a personal attack and as rejection that, oh, my way isn't correct. And it's being able to recognize that and go, oh, wait a minute, they're not attacking me. They're not saying that I'm not valuable, that my thoughts aren't valuable, that my ways aren't valuable. They are simply, they're simply conversing. They're simply doing things normally. So I have to recognize that trigger, that landmine. I have to then go, you know, I got to let this thing go because it's not that big of a deal, or it really wasn't a deal. It's just normal life. And these are big triggers that the person with avoidant personality are susceptible to and will set you into depression and everything else. But again, going back to the mind, realizing that these are fiery darts of enemy. They are things that the enemy has thrown fire on, and you are just burning alive in your depression and all this stuff. And it's not real. It's kind of like the Matrix. It's not real. These are things of the mind that need to go away. You need to be renewed. You need to be transformed. And it's not easy. I'm not going to say anything in life is easy. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right, and it's worth doing with God. It can be done. These things can be healed. You can transform your mind, but it takes practice. It takes work. I talk a lot about faith and works. Faith is going to God in prayer. That's the faith part. But then in the book of James, God says there's also a works element. Faith without works is dead. So you need to put some action. It's not work is kind of a bad word for whatever reason. I don't know why, because I guess some other people think that you have to work to be saved. But anyway, I won't go there. But basically another word, another way to say it is just action. You go to God in prayer, but then you need to put some sort of action to that prayer.
It's like being on a diet. Like if you want to lose weight, you can't just say, I'm going
to
lose weight.
You have to do something.
You've got to, like, modify some things.
You got to get out and do something, because you can pray all day and think all day about losing weight, and you ain't going to get anywhere.
Right.
You have to actually do something.
So if you really want to be walking out of avoidant personality,
you have to actually take the steps.
Take the steps, yeah.
You have to do something.
Renew your mind, take baby steps, make little goals, and start walking out of it.
And you can do that by coming to this podcast every Wednesday. Eventually, when my classes get going, when I eventually get them put together, coming to the classes, eventually a book, again, something else that's in the works. But just the moral of the story is you got to do something. It comes down to choice, and it comes down your mind. Choose this day what you're going to do. Are you going to stay in avoidant personality? Are you going to stay in that depression? Are you going to stay in that social anxiety? Are you going to stay in all of these issues? Are you going to continue to hurt the person that you love? Or are you going to make a change? So you choose. You have a choice to make. And it's really simple to make that choice. It's like being an alcoholic or anything else. The first step is to recognize there's a problem. The next step, you have to choose to do something about it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of accountability to it too. You know, again, if you're going to choose to lose weight, you're going to have to be accountable. You might have a trainer, you might have a weigh-in, you might go to Weight Watchers, you might have a friend, a buddy that you go walking with or whatever. So there's some accountability to it. And so, you know, don't think you can do this on your own either.
No. Find somebody to be accountable to. And mm-hmm. If you're have avoidant personality disorder, it's all the more difficult because it's difficult to find the person to trust out there that really knows about avoidant personality, which is, you know, with as humbly as possible, I would say, come here, because I've been there and I know how to get through it.
Yeah, but we can't fix you.
And I can only point you to the one who can.
And as a normal, I just know, and just as a woman, I mean, how many women feel like they're going to be able to fix a man or how many men, I guess, would feel like they could fix a woman or whatever. But the bottom line is we
can't. I think that's more of a woman thing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like...
I don't think men really care.
So with that being said, you know, you can't fix the person you're in a relationship with if you're the avoidant and you're a male. The female is not going to be able to fix you. And just know that as the normal, even if you're a male normal in an avoidant personality disorder relationship, you're not going to fix that person. Encourage them. Try to encourage them to get help outside of you so that you don't lose your mind too in the process of trying to fix them.
And yeah, that's definitely, it's a choice and it's all about the mind. That's where it all starts. And we are running out of time for tonight. So, you know, there's a lot more that I could say, but I just simply don't have time to go through it all. Like I said, this renewing of the mind is really a sermon in of itself. There's a lot to go through. There's a lot to really talk about how to renew your mind, the practical steps that you go through, the day-to-day walking out. There's really just a lot to say.
And there's so much to be said about it. It's just not that. I mean, even just taking a walk, getting some exercise helps the mind. Getting proper nutrition helps the mind.
Baby steps.
Like, think about a whole picture situation, you know? Like, what can I do to strengthen my mind today or renew my mind? Well, just focus on that, but realize that you're not just going to be focusing on the spiritual part of it. Because we are living in a natural world, there's natural things that God has put in order. Exercise, diet, vitamins, laughing, you know, different things like that. And so it is a huge thing to be thinking about and talking about. Maybe next week we can talk about more practical ways. But I don't want people to think, just like I always thought, that it had to be like this major spiritual situation. There's practical things. There's absolutely, it's a spiritual situation. The crux of the matter is the spiritual thing. But there are some physical things, too, that can help you in your healing and your freedom.
Exactly, because, you know,
that's the picture.
We are physical beings. We live in a physical universe. The mind is more of the spiritual aspect. They both have to work together in order to get through this world. You can't attack one without the other. They both have to work together. But it all starts in the mind. So then that's what we're all about, is renewing the mind. And tonight it's all about freedom, finding that freedom you need, and baby steps. Like Rebecca said, take a baby step. Go out, get yourself a walk, take some fresh air. For me, it was something as simple as maybe open up the blinds. I would have a nasty habit of sometimes leaving the blinds closed, and that would add to the depression. So do take some little steps, little things.
But I think the first most thing is to really think about, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus who paid the ultimate price for our freedom, that tonight you do ask Jesus into your heart and you do ask him to help you. Just take his hand and ask him, you know, show me, God, guide me and direct me where I need to be to start walking this out, because you didn't listen to this podcast for nothing. It wasn't a coincidence that you just popped in here. You know, the Holy Spirit works in such amazing ways that he guides you, he guards you, he puts your steps are ordered of God. And so if you're here and you're listening, but maybe you don't have a relationship with the Lord, or maybe it slipped a little bit, remember, he does love you. He died for you. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is just say, Jesus, come back into my life. Come into my life. I'm sorry for my sins, and I acknowledge that you are the Savior of the world, and you love me, and you died to save me. That's all it takes, guys. And then if you did pray that prayer, just write into us. Let us know that you have asked Jesus into your life, and we'll continue to pray for the people that are listening too, both normal and avoidant, because we do know the battle. But let God fight this battle for you. Let him fight it. Don't do it in your own strength. Just take the night off and just have some freedom of battling this, because God is greater.
And He is. And do something small. Take some baby steps. You know, whatever it is, just do something little to take a step in the right direction, whatever that is. If, even if it's just something as simple as putting on some different color clothes, whatever you need to do, do something simple to show yourself, to show God, to show your mate, to show whoever that you're going in the right direction. You're making an effort to renew your mind and to find that healing, because it is possible. I know, because I found it. If I found it, I know you can. So I would definitely say it is real. You can find it. And for that normal, you can understand, and you can be that person that will provide the healing or point the way to the healing to that one with the avoidant personality disorder. So with that, we'll go ahead and end this podcast. And I want to say to everyone, great freedom, and renew your mind. All it takes is to make that choice, and you can find it.
This has been Renewing Your Mind with Philip and Rebecca Dacus. Find more resources at our website, avoidance.org. And join us again next time for Renewing Your Mind.
Hardship, difficulty,
right now.
Tears, storms, this is what I do.
I smile.
Woo.
Even though I hurt, see, I smile.
Boy, that feels good.
I know God is working, so I smile.
All things are working.
Even though I've been it for a while,
still,
I smile.
Hey. See, I just don't want you to be happy. But then you gotta have something happen. You to have joy, because can't nobody take that from you. I see you. Smile.